Welcome to the weekly podcast of Soul Purpose Evangelical Church, located in the city of Middletown, New York. Today's message will be brought to you by our senior pastor, Reverend Albert Feliciano Sr. Each week, we stream our live recorded services to encourage, build up, and edify our listening audience. Our aim is to share with you the uncompromised and infallible word of the living God. Our prayer is that today's message will draw you closer in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And now, here is Pastor Albert with today's word.
This morning, I believe God has spoken clearly to my heart. I'm going to share what he gave me to give to you. Title of our message is, A Famine Coming to America? ? Is there a famine coming to our great land? I'm going to ask everyone to open their Bibles to the book of Amos. We're going to be in Amos chapter 8. And we're going to read two sections in the book of Amos. Verses 1 through 3. And then we're going to read from verses 9 through 11. All in the same chapter. Amos chapter 8. If you have it, say amen. Beginning at verse number 1, and the word of the Lord says, Thus the Lord God showed me, behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what do you see? So I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then the Lord said to me, The end has come upon my people Israel. I will not pass by them anymore. And the songs of the temple shall be wailing in that day, says the Lord God. Many dead bodies everywhere. They shall be thrown out in silence. Let's scroll down now to verse number 9, the same chapter. And it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord God, that I will make the sun go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in broad daylight. By the way, that has already happened. I will turn your feast into mourning, and all your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloth on every waist and baldness on every head. I will make it like mourning for an only son and its end like a bitter day. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Glory to God. Saints, you may take your seats this morning. Turn to your neighbor and just say, it's going to be okay. Hallelujah. You might need a double harness for this one. I see them buckling up already. Praise God. Despite how dreary and how dreadful those words sound, today's message is actually a good thing. It's a warning from a loving God, a warning to motivate you, to motivate us to keep our feet from stumbling. Sometimes we need a little reminder. Sometimes we need to get some kind of a warning so that we could prepare and take active measures. A lot of us think that God in heaven is this big, holy God in heaven with the holy leather belt, that he's just there waiting to see us slip up and fall or to do something wrong, to disobey him. And there he goes, whoosh, with his big heavenly belt, ready to give us a holy beatdown, to punish all evildoers Listen, God is holy, but he is rich in mercy. He's abounding in love. He is not slack concerning his promises. God doesn't want any one of us to perish. It is his desire that we all come to everlasting life. That is good news for us this morning. That is hope that many of us didn't have before. I found it interesting when I began to read this passage and this conversation that the Lord had with the prophet Amos. And he started out by saying, Amos, what do you see? Now, most of us would look at a fruit basket and we would answer the same way. Well, I see a basket of fruit. And that was Amos's reply. But one thing about a basket of summer fruit, especially when it stays in the basket, when it's not consumed, when it's not utilized and it's just there creating decoration for the house, eventually and quickly it ends up spoiling and going rotten pretty quick. Yes, initially it looks fresh and delicious at first, but it is so readily corrupted and diseased when it is left alone. Many of us are like that basket of fruit. We just want to look pretty on the outside. We want to look appetizing. We want to look sweet and tasty. But we're not sharing ourselves with anybody. We're not even sharing ourselves in the presence of God. To Amos, this was a sure sign from God that God's justice was coming. And it was coming to overtake a rebellious nation, a rebellious land that forgot all about the love of God. He said, the end is drawing near. The end is coming. The end of my people. The Lord said, I could do no more with the defiant ones. They're going to meet their demise. They're about to meet their doom, their destruction. Listen, there's going to come a time where God says, Jah. Enough. Get it together. Praise God. All that is in the world, as long as the earth remain, the Bible says, is seed, time, and harvest. And I promise you, and according through God's word, when harvest time comes, saints of the Most High God, there's going to be a separation between the good and the bad. It's inevitable. It's coming. The angel of the Lord is going to bring the sickle and he's going to separate the wheat from the tares. Isaiah 5:4, it says, what more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? What are we producing in our walk with God? What kind of fruit is hanging from our tree? Is there wild overgrowth on it? Does it look pretty? Does it look appetizing? Look at Matthew 13, verse 30. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first, gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Saints of God, make no mistake, this pastor right here, I want to be like a kernel of wheat. Hallelujah. I want to be a grain of wheat. I want to be brought in to the Father's barn. I don't want to be tied up with all the heathen. I don't want to be tied up in the cares of the world. I don't want to be entangled with all the stuff that doesn't produce good fruit. I don't want to be wrapped up or choked up with all kinds of wild weeds. I want to make sure that I make it. Hallelujah. Notice in this chapter, if you read it, God is starting to tell the prophet Amos that the people are just forgetting all about God. They're greedy for money. All they want to do is make money. They even defy the Sabbath day, and they just want to keep the doors open. They're keeping their stores open. They're taking advantage of the poor. They want the Sabbath over so they could reopen and keep the cash rolling in. The Bible says they falsified the scales. They made weights, heavy weights, and they cheated the poor. And in verse 7 of that chapter, God says, surely I will never forget any of their works. Saints of God, do you feel sometimes like you're being cheated? How many ever go to a restaurant or a store and they have an advertisement, oh, big steak and potatoes and whatever. And then you look at the price and it says $52. And you say, well, you know what? Today's a special day. I'm going to get me a $52 steak. And you get the steak and when it comes in, it looks like this. Not this steak. They give you this steak. And you get like one little, what is that, those little baby potatoes? What are they called? They're like the little baby ones, a little round potato and like one piece of broccoli. Like, yo, I'm willing to give you the $52, but hook a brother up here. What is this? What am I, a chicken, a little goat? What, you know? But you ever feel like you're cheated? Or when you go to a store, or how about this? How many times you go and buy something online? And when it comes to you, it looks so cheap and frail, and it's all jacked up, and it's made overseas, and it doesn't even fit. Because us Americans are big folk. Hallelujah. Sizes across the pond is a little different than we are here. Praise God. And you're paying top dollar, and it comes in, and you're cheated. Let me tell you something. I saw a beautiful display. It was a manger for Christmas. And it was 4 feet high with 4 feet wide. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. It was like $80-something dollars. I said, wow, this is going to be amazing. What a steal. I ordered it, and it came from China. You're laughing because you probably got caught too. Hallelujah. It came to my house in a little box like this. And I'm like, well, this is China, but this, it must be like Lego blocks. It's got, I must have to put it together or something. I'm telling you the truth. This thing was about 1 foot high by 1 foot wide. And I paid full price. And it took 2.5 months to get to my house. It was a Christmas manger. And you know what I did? I said, well, you know what? I paid almost $100 for this shipping and everything. I'm putting it on my lawn. I got a piece of wood, like a stump, in my yard. I put it on top of the stump, and I put a light on it. I said, you may not be able to see it, but it's going to get some action. Hallelujah. But I felt cheated. I felt cheated. And what am I going to do? Take a plane to China and get my money back? But God hates when people are cheated. God hates when people give false advertising. And how many believers give false advertisements? How many believers look like they're precious fruit, but they really don't have what it takes? They really don't have the word in them. They really got no prayer life. They look like, earlier we were talking about forged in fire. They got delaminations in their blade. They're not properly heat treated. And when the real test comes, they're not going to be able to survive those brutal tests. Here's some great advice for everyone in the room. Let's start here. Never forget. Never forget. Today is Memorial Day. It's also Pentecost Sunday. But let me tell you something. Never forget Jesus Christ. Never forget the cost of your salvation. Never forget what he did. The people in the book of Amos, they withdrew from the messengers that God sent. They withdrew from the prophets. They rejected the word of God. They rejected everything because all they were focused on is money. All they were focused on was building up their own kingdom, building up their own store, building up their own reputation. They took advantage of their own brothers and sisters. I remember going to Puerto Rico one time after a hurricane to visit my father when he was alive. And it was just after, I think it was Hurricane Irene or something to that effect. But they started gouging their own people. The gallons of gas was like $10 a gallon. A bag of ice was $10, $15 for a bag of ice. And you're starting to look around and say, man, everybody's in on it. It was like they prayed for the hurricane to come in so they could jack up the prices and gouge the people. I was so upset with the island, the whole island. My brother, he used to say something. It was pretty funny, goofing around. But in that moment, I understood what he meant. So you know what the problem with Puerto Rico is? And don't get mad at me, I'm Puerto Rican. So you know what the problem with Puerto Rico is? There's too many Puerto Ricans on the island. people taking advantage of each other. It shouldn't be. God spoke to Amos. He says, you know what? I'm going to send a famine on the land. And this famine is not going to be a famine of food or drink, but it's going to be a famine of my word. You see, famine in most parts is unknown to America. Yes, inflation stinks. Yes, prices are always going up. And they're always saying the same caca doo-doo-doo. Let the rich pay their fair share. Oh, everybody's got to do their part. Man, if I hear that one more time. Politicians, they got their hands in our pockets and they're always increasing everything. I praise the Lord that I'm a child of God. Because no matter how high the gallon is, I'm going to have money in my bank account to pay for the gas. God has not forsaken me. God's not going to forsake you. So no matter what it looks like out there, just trust in God. Stop worrying about the bills. Stop manifesting. Praise God. God's got you. If it's $10 a gallon, you're going to fill up your tank. When the time comes, you're going to have the money to fill it up. You're always going to have food in your fridge. As long as you're a child of God, you will have your daily bread. America is blessed. We're blessed beyond description. We've been the envy of the world for over 2 centuries. Even the most poor people in our country are better off than 80% of the world population. Let me give you a sad, real, true statistic. Even the people on welfare have a better cell phone than I. I got a Windows 8S Plus, and I'm gonna use this till the wheels fall off. I don't have no money to be buying a big, what are they, going $1,000? I wouldn't even pay that for an outfit. I'm serious. I get my suits at the Galleria, 3 for 1. Buy 1 suit, get 2 free. Hallelujah. Y'all can laugh if you want. I'm dressed. Hallelujah. Pay $500 and walk out with 3 suits. Yeah, boy. That's a shopper right there. Hallelujah. Let me get back to the message. Hallelujah. Even the poor people in our nation have everything that they need. They're rich. They even get money from taxes. They get money from all kinds of places. And they get clothing. And they get their heat paid. And they get everything. Other people in the world don't even have clean drinking water. We just turn on the faucet and it comes right out. We're so blessed. But listen, conditions can change, people of God. See, most of us have the Word of God. Most of us are in church. Most of us have every opportunity to be connected with the things of God. And this is what we do. Speak to the hand. Speak to the hand. Ain't nobody trying to hear that right now. I've got things to do. I don't want to go. Ain't nobody going to make me go to church. If I want to go to church, I'll go. Repent in Jesus' name. Yes. There's going to come a day where you're going to want to go to church, but you can't go. There's going to come a day where you want the word, but there ain't going to be no word. There's going to come a day where you want to be on your face before the presence of God, but everything around you is going to prevent you from doing that. How many of us are going to be like Daniel, where they put an edict? If you pray at all, except to the Dagon idol, you're going to be thrown into the lion's den. He goes, well, looks like I'm going to be dinner for the lions tonight. And he opens up the window and blesses the Lord. Hallelujah. How many of us have that fortitude that we're going to pray no matter what they say? Oh, if you don't marry a homosexual couples, you're going to be thrown in prison. Well, guess I'm going in, Papa. I'm going to be a monster in the prison. Hallelujah. I'm going to turn that prison upside down for Jesus Christ. That's part of the plan if it should get there. They're going to say, you know what? Get him back out. Kick him out. Let him go back out. They're going to try to put me in solitary confinement. I'll just have service in the 23 hours in my room. Hallelujah. And when I come out for that 1 hour basketball court, it's going to be fire. Hallelujah. It's so blowing up with fire. Hallelujah. Fire the Holy Ghost. Don't mess with a man of God. Conditions can change, but even in the change, God considers the people. Remember the 7 years of famine in Egypt. Remember that time. Praise the Lord. And who did God use? He used a man named Joseph, a young man, to literally save that nation from death and destruction. And we know the story. Famine is a horrible way to go. But God loves his people. God will always send a rescuer, a deliverer. God will even raise us up to deliver ourselves from all this craziness by being in his presence. The difference here in this morning's passage, that the famine is not about food and water, but the famine is about hearing the word of God. And many people, let's face it, many of us think, that's not so bad. I hardly read now anyway. Think of how sad that is. No biggie. I don't even read the Bible now. It's been sitting on my shelf. Some of us have to do this every time we come to church. You know, it's funny. There's sometimes I talk to people, they come to Bible studies, and the pages are still stuck together. And they have to go, oh, wait a minute, hold on. Okay. Yeah, now they're still stuck together. There's an abundance, an overabundance in our great nation of God's word. Today, the word of God is everywhere. There's an overflow of the word. It's coming out from everywhere. But the problem is, we're not living it, maybe not even reading it the way it's supposed to be read. We're not spending time in study. There are countless churches in almost every community, in every village, in every town. There are several hundred churches in different counties. And the most funny thing is that racism is rampant. We say that there's no racism, but there is. There's segregation still in the body of Christ. We have the white church. We have the black church. We've got the Korean church. We've got the Russian church. We've got the Greek Orthodox church. We've got the Jewish church. We've got the Haitian church. I'm just thinking of some churches right here. We got even Spanish churches that are different because they don't even want to get together and become one church. They have 10 different Spanish churches. There are churches that the family has 5 different pastors and all 5 of them have different churches. The same family. Fact. And they don't even work with each other. They're independent, competing against each other. What a sad statement for the body of Christ. We have social media that's loaded with numerous pastors and numerous, I call them wannabes. There are so many podcasts, too many to name and number. There are TV shows, TV stations. There are movies. God's word is completely available and it's free. But still, there's a famine in the land and the famine is coming through indifference. Let me tell you what that means. That means unimportance, irrelevance, meaninglessness. There are so many signs of indifference in our day. I'm going to give you a little video clip just to prove my point. But we have athletes that every time an athlete comes on TV and starts talking about Jesus Christ, all of a sudden there comes a technical issue. Let me give you an example.
Salvation for this sin is the gospel. The only way to really cure that was on the inside is understanding that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And so to me, on a micro level, it's understanding.
It. Oh, and just like that, we lost him. I know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. By the way, that's CNN. Hallelujah. I don't even know how anybody could even watch that garbage of fake news channel. Hallelujah. Yeah, I said it because I ain't scared. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, the media is the biggest culprit of lies today. There was a time when I was a young kid where you could trust the news. Now you can't trust a CNN, MSNBC, all that. You can't even trust Fox News anymore. There's so much political. You know what? Where the money is, they pour in the money. As long as the money comes in, people compromise their values. Remember the athlete, Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow, man of God. And he took a knee and he was condemned and criticized. I believe it was this game, if I'm not mistaken. There were some staggering statistics. He used to wear John 3:16 on his cheek, on a sticker. And one day he threw 316 passing stuff. All the statistics, that whole game was 316. And he didn't even know. And he said, do you realize what happened today? And he's like, no, what happened? Tell me. All the stats in that game were 316. All the way through. But they condemned him. Anytime a man of God starts talking about Jesus or start to pray, they say, no, we can't have that. But then comes along a Black Lives Matter, and all of a sudden the whole team comes down and they drop down on a knee and they disrespect our nation. They disrespect our flag. They disrespect the church. Let me tell you, and I'm saying it, let me tell you, this is not a racial issue. Black Lives Matter is founded on witches, lesbian witches. Do you know why they say my name, say the name? Because they're trying to invoke a dead spirit to come from the earth. They're trying to invoke a spirit that they are chanting and trying to do witchcraft on the people, on the masses. You go to their website, they're against the husband in the house, they're against the man in the house, they're founded on witchcraft. They do seances, it's right on their webpage. And we got churches wearing Black Lives Matter shirts. Do your research, praise God. I'm telling you this, it's not about ethnicity. Because if there was a group called Gonzalez, Ramirez, Gutierrez, Feliciano, Santiago, and they did that, I'd be blasting them too. Hallelujah. What's your name? Rodriguez, Gutierrez, yeah. And you're a devil. Hallelujah. Santiago, Gutierrez, Ramirez, Jones. Right? Let me tell you something. It gets worse, people of God. Look at this Target. They got now a Target Pride. Take pride. They got the rainbow. They got all kinds. They got stuff to push the breast down so that a girl could look like a boy. And they got clothing to tuck in genitalia so that you could look like a girl. And you've got all kinds of craziness. This Target now has got a Satanist clothing line. And it says Satan endorses pronouns. That's what that thing says there. It's a symbol of Baphomet. It's a crazy, straight out demonic. They're cut off. I'm never going back to Target. They're boycotted. Yeah, Target, they're targeted. They're blacklisted on my spending sprees. Look at Celine Dion. She's got a satanic, a whole clothing line. Upside down crosses, 666. She's got all these little kid models in black clothing with all kinds of satanic pentagrams and all that. And now she's in a wheelchair dying. God doesn't play. God is going to say, I'm done. There are few churches in our society, in our country, that are even growing through evangelism. You've heard the statistics, the George Barna Group research. They say only 2% of the body of Christ is actually evangelizing. 98% are simply satisfied with salvation. Many people don't share their faith. They're afraid. They don't know how to share their faith. Many people won't talk to somebody because they don't know. What if they ask me a question? What if I don't know what to say? I don't want to make a fool of God. These are legitimate excuses. But the reality is, if you read the word, you would know. The Bible says, don't be afraid of what you're going to say, because when you go out there, it'll be me speaking through you. But many of us don't even go out there because we're too afraid. The devil's got us hoodwinked. Many Christians, they don't take God's word outside of their home. Many others don't even read it inside their own home. They say, well, it's not necessary, or it's outdated. Here, they'll say dumb things. Have you ever heard this? I don't read the word because it's written by men. You ever heard that foolishness? but they read the newspaper, they read the horoscopes, they read the zodiacs, they listen to the movies, they listen to the news media that is written by men, and they count it as fact. And they say, you're not listening to the science. You're not paying attention to the science. Yeah, it's the science that's killing people. The very science that you're believing in is killing you. Hallelujah. Maybe I should have said buckle in. Hallelujah. Can I tell the truth here? Back in the 70s, when they took prayer out of school, it was an ugly time. Abortion started. They took prayer out of school. They started removing the Ten Commandments. You remember that time? And people were in an uproar. You remove prayer from school. You remove prayer from school. Wah, wah, wah. No prayer in school. But guess what? They go home and they don't even pray at home. You want prayer in school, but you won't pray with your kid at home even before dinner. It's so sad. Our nation, we got it backwards, man. We don't share the word of God with our sons and daughters, but when they go to prison, then we bring them. The first book we bring them is a Bible. Is it not true? And many parents will bring a Bible and commissary so they could buy their cigarettes. How many are just oblivious? That means ignorant to God's word. We don't pray in the school. By the way, did you know that prayer has been introduced back in the school? President Trump, before he left office, he reinstated prayer in the school. Many people, you know why? Because the news don't talk about that. Did you know that it is now legal to read the Bible in school? Did you know it's now legal to read the Bible at work? There's no such thing as separation of church and state. That's a lie. It's not in the Constitution. I challenge anyone to bring me a Constitution and find where it says separation of church and state. They've been dropping that nonsense on us for decades. It was a letter that Thomas Jefferson then wrote, and he wrote the comment, separation of church and state. It was a letter that was supposed to be read in a court hearing. But they adopted that phrase, and now everybody thinks it's in our Constitution. No such thing. Know your rights. Glory to God. I wish somebody would say, I'm sorry, you can't read that here. I'm sorry, you have to put that away. Oh, really? Yeah? Show me. Where does it say that? Oh, separation of church and state. No, go do your research. Call the police. Call anybody. Call Ronald McDonald. Call whoever you want to call. I'm not closing the word. What would it mean to have a famine in this land for God's word? Number one, a nation without the word of God is going to be a nation without freedom. John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. There's a quote from Horace Greeley. It says, it is impossible to enslave a Bible-reading people. Hallelujah. If you have the word of God in you, ain't no one going to take you captive. Hallelujah. History reveals that the Bible brings us freedom. The founders of our great nation founded this country on the values and the morals and the teachings of God's word. Did you know that right now in our current day, China and North Korea, among some other countries, have banished the Bible from being read or even owned? If you are caught with the Bible, whether it be a page or the full book, not only will you be immediately executed, but they will go back home and execute your wife and your children and everyone in your home. Just because of having the Bible. Already countless families in North Korea have been murdered by that tyrant because of the Word of God. But even in war, God protects His nation, His people. Why? Because of our alliance with Israel. God said He will bless those that bless Israel, and He will curse those that curse them. Listen, as long as we are friends with Israel, we still have hope. But the minute we turn our backs on Israel, guess what? We're going to end up on the chopping block. As long as there is solid biblical preaching in our nation and we're alert to the truth, we're going to have freedom and we're going to have victory. Praise God for that. Psalm 119:1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. That means they are uncontaminated by this God-forsaken world. Psalm 119:9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Saints of God, if you have God's word in you, things will go well for you. You will be a hearer and a doer. Verse 11 in that same chapter. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Listen, saints of God, this is such a great simple formula. If you're in God's word and you spend time in God's word, your struggle against sin will be a little less significant because God's word will sustain you. God's word will uphold you. God's word will fortify you. When the tempter comes, God's word is going to give you stamina against sin. There's so many people that break under the pressure. Why? Is because they have no stamina, no presence in God's word. Psalm 119:16, the last verse that Brother Larry Love read, it said, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Saints of God, I tell you the truth. Don't forget God's word. Don't forget God's son. Don't even forget yourself. We have to walk right and live right every day. Point number two, a nation without the word of God is a nation without foundations. Matthew 7:24-27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. How many build their house on the rock? And when the rain descended, the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Listen, your life is going to be put through some serious tests, like that Forged in Fire knife show. They're going to put some brutal testing on that knife of yours, on the word that's in your heart. And if it's heated right, if it's spent right, if it's made right, it's going to weather the test and the trials. Verse 26, but everyone who hears the saying of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. A life, saints of God, built upon God's word is always going to stand. It's going to be on a firm foundation. A house or a home built on God's word is always going to stand. God's word is a sure foundation, a precious cornerstone. Pastor Shadrach was talking about us being built up together, a spiritual house. Do you know that we're living stones and God is putting us together, making us a spiritual house? Psalm 127, the first part of the verse, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Anything built on God's word is going to stand the storm. Anything built on your own efforts is going to crash and crash greatly. Amen. Apart from God's word, there are no absolutes. Everything becomes relative. That means people are going to struggle to know right from wrong, good versus evil. Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Saints of God, let me tell you, we are here right now. Everything in our day is true. That verse right there is telling us exactly what is going on in this life today. Do you know the secretary, the presidential secretary, I guess is what it's called, the speaker, not the speaker of the house, the young lady that speaks in the meetings, press secretary. Do you know that the press secretary lies every single time she hits the podium? And it's mind-boggling to me that people see it, listen to it, and actually give her the moment of the time. And the reporters are there, and she's outright, flat out lying. Oh, well, according to the president, blah, 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 blah. The president doesn't even have a clue what's going on right now. They're lying. They're lying to us. But we're gobbling it up. Listen, this is why you need to be in the Word. God's Word is a moral compass for us. God's Word is going to be a light unto our path. It's going to be a compass for every individual. It's going to be a compass for our nation and for its leaders. Saints of God, we got to get back to God's Word before it's too late. To neglect God's Word is to neglect yourself, and it's to starve your own soul. The results are the same as being in a famine. When you starve your spirit of God's Word, it's a spiritually imposed famine. And this is how many of us look like. Poor little guy. I hope somebody feeds him and takes him in. But this is how many of us look. If we had an image of what many spirits look like in this room, it looks like that. Emaciated. Our spirit is saying, feed me, feed me. Give me something to drink, please. Help me. I'm dying. And we're like, speak to the hand. Ain't nobody got time for that. Saints of God, let us not be malnourished in our spirit. There's an old a story I read, and I love it because it brings the point home. But there's an Indian family. The son goes to his grandpa, Chief Sitting Bull. How about that? Hallelujah. And he goes to his grandpa and he says, Grandpa, I'm always trying to do the right thing, but I'm always messing up. Every time I try to do the right thing, something happens and I end up doing the wrong thing. What could possibly be wrong with me? Why can't I behave? Why can't I do what's right? And the grandfather looks at him and says, it's very simple. In our life, there are two coyotes and they're at constant war with one another. We have a good coyote that always wants to do good, and we have a bad coyote that all he wants to do is bad. And they struggle inside every single day of our life. It's a constant struggle. And the kid says, but which one of them ultimately win? The grandpa said, that answer is also easy. The one that you feed. You see, whatever you feed will live. Whatever you starve will die. Are you feeding your spirit God's Word, or are you starving your spirit of God's Word? A nation without the Word of God is a nation without faith. Romans 10:17, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Paul describes this in his own nation, seeing everything that was going on in that same chapter, verses 1-4. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for God, for Israel, is that they may be saved. Hallelujah. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Paul is saying they have a zeal for God, but they do it without knowledge. They have no knowledge of God because they're not in God's Word the way they're supposed to be. They are willfully ignorant of God's righteousness. They're looking to build up their own righteousness. Saints of God, this is why there are so many Christians today that are equally defeated. There are so many that are bound by Satan's tricks. They are deceived. There are Christians that refuse to live right. There are Christians that refuse to act right, refuse to speak right, refuse to walk right. They are bound. They have no Word of God inside. Furthermore, they're so trapped with their own pride. They can't even recognize the pride that's in their hearts. Listen, if God kicked the devil out of heaven because of pride, why would we think that pride is going to re-enter into glory? How many are willfully ignorant of God's Word? It's so sad for me, and it's so sad for many that Sunday morning is sometimes the only time that your spirit feeds. I'm going to say that again. For many, Sunday morning is the only time that your spirit ever feeds on the word of the living God. There are others that come to church and right through the message, through the preaching of God's word, the only time that your spirit is supposed to feed, or at least feeds with the community, they spent the whole morning like this. There's a time coming in this nation when a famine is going to hit our land. They're already trying to say that the Bible is considered hate speech, but they are okay with Satanist Bibles being in the church, or excuse me, being in the school, but they're trying to shut down the Bibles. There's a whole group trying to take the Bible out of school. This is why it's important to memorize the word. Pastor Shadrach said it earlier. Memorize the word of God. They can't take it from you. Let me read something here. It's going to blow you away. Ezekiel 3:1-9. Moreover, he said to me, this is God speaking to the prophet Ezekiel. He said, son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll. And go and speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat that scroll. And he said to me, son of man, feed your belly and fill your stomach with this scroll that I give you. So I ate, and it was in my mouth like honey in sweetness. Then he said to me, son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. For you are not sent to a people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of unfamiliar speech and hard of language whose words you cannot understand. Surely I had sent you to them. They would have listened to you, but the house of Israel would not listen to you because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces and your forehead strong against their foreheads. Like adamant stone, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, or be not dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house. What is that saying? That is saying that these people know God. These people have heard the word, but they don't want to receive the word. They are hardened of heart. They are impudent people, but God sent them anyway. We truly think oftentimes that God doesn't see our impudence or our dismissal of his word. We're so arrogant that we even dismiss God's messengers. There are some that are dismissing this pastor speaking to you right now. Can't wait for me to shut up. Looking at the clock saying, when is he going to shut up? But I got 15 minutes credit. Hallelujah. Notice that even despite the people that God knew would not listen, he still sent Ezekiel anyway. He still sent him anyway. They would not hear him. They would not listen. But God said, I've got to send you anyway. God sent the prophets to the people. He sent Ezekiel. He sent Jeremiah. He sent Isaiah. He sent Moses. He sent Samuel. He sent Nathan. He sent Ezra. He sent Malachi. He sent all the prophets, minor and major prophets. He sent them anyway to a people with hardness of heart. In this nation, even now today, he is sending you pastors. He is sending you teachers. He is sending you prophets, even in this day, to hear the word of the Lord. Our God will never be accused of not giving people every chance in the world to repent. Revelation 10:9. So I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book. And he said to me, take it, eat it. It will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. Saints of God, we're supposed to eat the scroll of the living God. And then he says, after you have eaten, he says, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. This is the reason we're supposed to get the word of God in us so they can't steal it from us. And that when we go out and share the word of God, we know what we're talking about. Neglecting God's word is imposing spiritual famine into your life. And America is guilty of exactly that. Why? Why, saints of God, would we stay malnourished when there's so much work to be done? There's so many people that need the truth. Our nation is literally becoming Babylon. Our nation is becoming Rome. Our nation is self-destructing. Our nation is imploding. When people refuse to hear the word of God, then God's word has to come and answer and judge. Let me tell you something. Do you know that United States of America does not exist in biblical prophecy? Many people seem to forget that. That means we're erased. We're either going to be merged with the 10 nations that come together. Maybe it's going to be Amero, like the Euro. Maybe Mexico, Canada, and America become one of the world divisions. It's in the Council of Rome, the Club of Rome. There's already a division. 10 world divisions as prophesied in the book of Daniel. It's already done. You could go to Google. Do it now if you want. No, don't do it now because everybody will start going on Facebook. Pastor gave me a license to go to Facebook. But look it up. It's called the Club of Rome or the Council of Rome. That is a 10-world division. The whole world has already been divided. USA does not exist. We're in a very dangerous time. God calls us to be his remnant, to be his ambassadors. We're in the days of Noah right now. We're in the days of Lot, and there's a famine looming. There's so much corruption. But saints of God, I ask this question. Is there any hope for us today? Is there any hope? The answer is yes, there is hope. Our great national wealth is not in our gold and our strength of our army, technology, wisdom. It's not even in our government. Our great strength is found in the faith of God's people, the spirit-filled people of God. Is Christ in you? If he is, then he is the hope of all glory. Hallelujah. God has called this house to be salt and light, to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, to preserve the inevitable famine and the wrath of God. But I promise you, saints of God, that this time is not going to last forever. God said in Genesis 6:3, my spirit will not strive with man forever. We've got to get back in that place. Last week, God called us to go back and get alone with him. Get back into the secret place with God. Proverbs 15:29, it says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. James 5:16. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are on his righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Saints of God, we can pray for our nation. We can avert the coming famine. We can delay the ultimate wrath of God by our prayers. Remember that in Genesis 18, Abraham interceded for the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. God listened to him. God gave him an audience, and he began to bargain with God. The problem was that at the end, there was not even 10 righteous people in two cities, not even 10 that were found, and God had to destroy it according to his own word. But we read also in Isaiah 38, the prophet Isaiah literally went to Hezekiah and said, set your house in order, for you are going to die and you will not live. Imagine a prophet of God saying that to you, get your affairs in order because you're going to die. But Hezekiah, man of God, he turned his face to the wall and he began to pray. And this was his prayer. He said, I've walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart. Hezekiah cried out to God, the Bible says, with bitter tears. And what does the word say? God heard his prayers. Isaiah 38:4-6. And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah saying, go and tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and the city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. Saints of God, don't you know that our prayers availeth much? Don't you know that if you have a relationship with the Father and you pray and you get in His presence and you know His word, that God hears you? God is a good God, a good, good Father. It doesn't matter what your enemies are saying or how they're coming after you. God will defend you, and He'll defend your home. He'll defend your children. He'll defend your city. Praise God. Don't you know that God can do it? God is able. He is God alone. Praise God. Our God is full of compassion. He loves His children. And God trusts you with the mission. Turn to your neighbor and say, He's definitely talking about you. God trusts you. God trusts you. God trusts you. He trusts you with His mission. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled back to God. Even this, Pastor Shadrach, hitting my notes again. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Saints of God, do we believe this? How many times we give this scripture, do we believe it? God is able to heal our land. He's not going to allow anyone to be lost. Jesus said, I will not lose not one sheep that the Father has given me. God's deepest desire is that no one would perish. Saints of God, hell is not created for you. It was created for the devil and his angels. I love this quote from Pastor Adrian Rogers. It says, hell was created for the devil and his angels. If you go, you are an intruder. Think of that. You're not supposed to be there. Turn to your neighbor, say this. Stop, drop, and roll doesn't work in hell. Hallelujah. Facts. Hallelujah. God's wrath is not for you. God's judgment and His wrath are two different things. Judgment starts in the house of God, and this is God's word judging us right now, saying, get back into the prayer closet. Get back into your word. I want you to be spared from the inevitable wrath, the famine that's coming to your land. This wrath is not reserved for you. God says you are born again. You are born of incorruptible seed. 1 Peter, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Glory to God. Saints of God, don't miss it. Don't forget it. God is with you. He is on your side. As I come to my conclusion, there is a famine that is coming to America. There is a famine even now of God's own word. The question that I ask everybody here, are you hungry for the word of the living God? Saints of God, if you've gotten anything today, don't put yourself in a spiritually induced famine. You have God's word. Get it into you now. Memorize it. Eat it, ingest it, apply it, live with it, hear it and obey. Let God's word be written on the tablet of your heart. In the time that we're living, we're going to need His word to fight temptation, to resist the devil, to walk in the Spirit. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Complete. Hallelujah. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent saints of God. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Jesus, when he was in the wilderness and encountered the enemy, and the enemy came and tried to tempt Jesus with his very creation. Brother AJ spoke about it last week. Jesus fought back with the word of God, and the enemy even tried to use the word against him, and still he fought back with the word of God. Saints of the Most High, get back to that secret place of prayer and also begin to feed on God's word. It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I end with this. Whatever you feed will live. Whatever you starve will die. God bless you, saints of the Most High God. Hallelujah.
We are so grateful to God for allowing us the opportunity to share this message with you. Thank you for listening. We want you to know that you are all in our constant prayers. If you've been blessed by today's program, why not consider partnering with us? To make a donation is easy. You can visit us online at www.specchurch.net, or you can call us at 845-956-0133. Once again, that's www.specchurch.net or 845-956-0133. We invite you to worship with us one Sunday morning soon. Thank you again for your prayers and support. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you.